This is the first of a two-part special on May Day and migrant resistance in Toronto. Today in the studio, we're going to have a discussion amongst ourselves as organizers known as Legal Toronto about the May Day of action and why everyone needs to take to the streets on Saturday, May 1st.
So, Craig, I thought you've been organizing with Known as Illegal for quite a while now. So could you talk a little bit about the May Day of action, what it is, and what are the roots of the demonstration?
Well, the May Day of action in Canada actually started out of a walk that took place, a really radical walk that happened where undocumented people, particularly those in the undocumented non-status Algerian community, marched from Montreal to Ottawa over 7 days in 2005. When that was taking place, No One Is Illegal here in Toronto mobilized a whole bunch of people and sent buses to Ottawa to greet the marchers as they went to Parliament Hill and demanded the immigration minister implement changes that would allow for status for all. In 2006, after the election of the Conservative government, what we actually saw were unprecedented raids in subway stations, in malls, on the street, in which immigration officers were essentially asking people for their ID. And people, angered by this, began to mobilize. And just at that same time, we were also seeing particularly targeting of Portuguese and Spanish-speaking people, particularly in the construction industry. And we were able to mobilize massive amounts of people in 1 or 2 days to really fight these changes. And in 2006, the May Day of Action that took place, in line with the May Day of Actions that happened throughout the United States, really started to build a big and strong and vibrant movement here. And since that time, 07, 08, and 09, that movement has grown. And we saw in 09 the power that we had in shutting down Yonge and Dundas Square and having a sit-in of migrant families and allies right in the middle of Yonge and Dundas Square, in which we held that at that location, and it started to really build upon the work that we do day in and day out. So one of the things that people talk about this year is that the Conservative government has increasingly attacked immigrant and refugees since taking power in 2006. And recent changes proposed to the Immigrant and Refugee Protection Act will actually have devastating impacts on migrant communities. I'm wondering if, Ryan and Yogi, if you guys want to talk a bit about the changes and how people are organizing to oppose them.
So just recently, I mean, I'm sure people would have heard, because it got a fair amount of mainstream media coverage also, that they're having huge cuts to the Conservative government just announced huge cuts to the refugee program. They're also getting the permanent residency program by making all programs, so all avenues to come into Canada temporary. They gutted the refugee system. Now it's cut in half. They're proposing to remove the pre-removal risk assessment, which is one of the only channels people whose claims have been denied have. They have increasingly, since couple last year, they've increasingly used the rhetoric of bogus refugees, trying to kind of further stigmatize the existing racial biases that in society here.
I mean, it's been really shameful what's going on, and it's been amazing to see the resistance that's building in Vancouver, in Montreal, in Toronto, and all elsewhere. We're seeing this in Ottawa, in Kitchener-Waterloo, in other places, and I believe that we're going to see these people out on May Day in full force. And so I'm wondering, Ryan, if you can talk about why it's critical for people to come out on May 1st.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and Craig, you were talking about 2007, and we remember when they were picking up people in subways and picking up people in the malls. And when we demonstrated, when we organized, when we went out on the streets, we actually did a Freedom of Information request later, and we found out that these spikes in immigration enforcement and pickups actually dropped because of the public pressure that was created by migrants organizing in their communities and taking back that Dufferin and Bloor community. And so I think we're hoping to do the same thing this year that we did in 2007 and that we continue to do in 2008 and 2009, is really show that the population of people who have been made invisible exist, and they will refuse to live in a subordinated, exploitative conditions, and we're going to go to the streets, all of us in solidarity, because an injury to one is an injury to all. When there's people who die on their workplaces because of unsafe conditions, because they don't have status. That lowers the floor for all workers in this city, in this province, in this country, globally. So it's important for all of us on International Workers' Day, Saturday, May 1st, to take to the streets and say, status for all, no one is illegal.
That's right. And it's quite interesting because this is a trend that has been replicated in other industrialized countries too, right? Where in the context of increasing migration globally, countries are moving to further militarize their borders, and Canada is doing exactly the same. So this May Day, we definitely want maximum number of people out on the streets voicing their opposition to this. But in order to get involved on May Day during the demonstration, where can people find more information? You know, how can folks get involved? Is there a meeting where people can come to support for the May Day demo?
Okay, so two things definitely to mention as we sort of organize in the final 2 weeks leading up to this year's May Day action. There's going to be Sunday work days. So the same place that we're having the demonstration or starting it, at Wellesley and Ontario Street in St. Jamestown, we'll be having Sunday work days where we work on putting together art, banners, promotional materials, and things that are really going to make this march happen, be loud, and be noticed. And so definitely sending an invitation out to all of our allies to join us on those Sunday work days, starting this Sunday and the following Sunday at 1 p.m. At Wellesley in Ontario. We'll be meeting outside. And so that's definitely one way that people can get involved in the lead-up to May Day.
So, Ryan, you mentioned the tragic death of the workers that took place on Christmas Eve of last year. And we do know this is the first May Day of Action that actually takes place on May 1st, which is the International Workers' Day. And I'm wondering if we can talk a bit about what the significance is. I mean, we've seen in the United States that this has been a very powerful day in shutting down the U.S. economy and showing that migrants have the power to take control of the situation and really push for meaningful and lasting changes to immigration policy. I'm wondering if we can talk a bit about that.
Yeah, I think the example from the United States that's been set is an incredibly powerful and inspiring one. And the marches that happened in 2006 under the banner of A Day Without an Immigrant to really underscore that message of without immigrants, the U.S. economy was shut down. I think it's safe to say the same can be said about the Canadian economy. It's not that immigration is being cut off. It's that avenues to citizenship are being cut off. People are still being brought here. It's only on a temporary basis. This is totally unjust, unfair. It produces exploitation. And I think that's why people are so angry this year. And so many of us are going to be out on May 1st, organizing and marching and looking to, our brothers and sisters and our allies in the United States to also join with us on this day globally. Because, as you said, it will be the first day that we're marching on the actual May 1st, International Workers' Day.
And I mean, this is something that we really need to put into context. If you are listening and you are not an immigrant or a refugee, but you're in a union or you're a worker, these are policies, these immigration policies that are coming affect you, right? And they affect you particularly in the way that the Conservative government is structuring the temporary foreign worker program. And they affect us because by bringing in temporary foreign workers for 4 years, and then kicking people out for 6 years as proposed by the legislation, what we actually see is a lowering, a deflation of the standards for all workers, right? We're seeing a deflation of wages. We're seeing a deflation of job security. And this is something that is drastically impacting us in that they are attempting to pit one of us against the other. And as Ryan said, an injury to one is an injury to all, and we need to really stand together in solidarity. And if we don't stand together in solidarity, essentially, just as these workers are being under attack for being migrants, our standards, our living standards, we're seeing this, right? We had a demonstration that took place just on Wednesday, on April 15th, around cuts to welfare and to ODSP that were directly related to this deflation in wages, right? That they are attempting to get people in poverty to actually work for less and less wages.
And so, I mean, we're really coming up on May 1st. It's in 2 weeks. But I'm thinking, you know, Yogi, maybe we can also look a bit more forward to the summer. It's going to be a really hot summer here in Toronto. Maybe you could talk about a bit about how the idea and the demands of status for all fit within some of the organizing that's happening around the G8 and G20 that's also happening this summer?
Yeah, so I don't know if people probably have heard that this June, the leaders of about 20 economically most powerful countries are going to be here in Toronto. They're going to be in Huntsville for the G8 meeting on 25th, and they're going to be here on 26th and 27th. In the lead up to it, there's a whole series of actions being organized, predominantly led by people of color, women, indigenous people. And the idea of the G8, G20 struggles is to forefront local struggles, is to make the connection between the global policies that these countries enact, of which Canada is one, and the local struggles that go on here, and make those connections and forefront those struggles, while the attention, more than about 3,000 media that are expected to be in the city in Toronto during those days. So we definitely can use the May Day to kind of get a sense of the kinds of things that are going to happen during the G8, G20 summit, and we definitely hope to have a big turnout during May Day.
And it's important to look at that, right? It's important to see that the G8 and the G20 is drastically connected, dramatically connected to immigration policy and the flow of migrant, and particularly migrant labor, right? And by resisting the G8 and G20, and by connecting the G8 and G20 to our local power and our local resistance that are taking place here, I think we are starting to really build a long-term movement in this city and throughout North America to actually start to get to the belly of the beast. And we need to really start to do that, right?
That's right. And just today, before we came into the studio, I met with a couple of people from the Toronto Food Policy Council. And one of the things that we forefronted there is that they were talking about eliminating hunger in Toronto. And the idea that while more than 200,000 non-status people continue to live in Toronto, and with a conservative government cuts to the immigration system, well, migration rates are not going down. So what that basically means is that we're going to have more and more people without status. So it's to make those connections between how is the food policy tied into immigration, you know, how does worker exploitation tie into immigration, and to use May Day as a moment to, you know, unite our struggles.
Definitely, and I'm glad you brought that up, Yogi, about the food, because, you know, yesterday we were marching with OCAP at the Raise the Rates demo, and, you know, this was one of the themes, do the math. You can't live off of welfare. You can't eat healthy off welfare. You're forced to make decisions between paying the rent and buying food and putting it on the table, which is clearly unacceptable. It's clearly an issue that affects migrants, and it's an issue that affects all people in the city. And so we must continue the struggle. We must march on May 1st, Saturday, May 1st. We're meeting in St. Jamestown. It's at Wellesley and Ontario Street. You can get more of the details on our website, toronto.noneislegal.org. And also we were playing the May Day promo, the MayWorks promo at the beginning of the show. Also check out the MayWorks website at mayworks.ca, where you can get the details on an event that we're having, essentially an after party on that evening, where we'll be, you know, forefighting some of the best, you know, politically conscious artists in the city to talk about issues of, you know, no one is legal and status for all. And so we definitely want people to join us there as well on May 1st.
And I think just to leave everybody off today before we head into OCAP Radio, we wanted to talk a bit about, remind people, especially people listening who are Ryerson student listeners, right, that the issues that were brought up by Queen Nzinga, Wendy Maxwell, 5 years ago now, are still live and present, right? The fact that she was picked up right here at Ryerson University by the Ryerson security and the Toronto police, and subsequently deported. And somebody, losing somebody like that, a critical activist, somebody who had been involved in Latin American struggles, in queer migrant organizing, in queer organizing, in all kinds of arts projects, and being here and selling cookies at a bake sale to raise money for this radio station, and being picked up by immigration authorities and deported subsequently after spending 2 weeks in a maximum security detention center. She left us a note, and she left us a goodbye parting message, and that was to continue the fight, to continue in all of our spaces, right, whether it be in the schools, in the shelters, in the social services, but to continue that fight and to say no to immigration enforcement. This should not happen in our city. We should be barring those immigration enforcement officers from even getting close to any of our allies or comrades or family members, people in this community. And Wendy Maxwell gave us that message and that statement of resistance that needed to happen. And I think that that's something that we need to remember and constantly talk about, because that's not going away. The stuff that happened in 2005 on International Women's Day is happening day in and day out to people, and it's going to be happening more and more as the conservative government's changes to immigration legislation become a reality.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for sharing that story. It's definitely stories like that that motivate us to do the work that we do and carry on the fight. So just quickly, the websites again where you can get more information about May Day, about the leaving locations, about how you can bring your friends and everything. It's at www.toronto.noonesillegal.org, or you can get information about, and you can get also information about the G20 activities at g20.torontomobilize.org.
And stay tuned for our next show in 2 weeks. We'll be bringing you some really fiery and passionate clips from last year's demo on May 2nd. And so definitely listen to that on the Friday night as you gear up and prepare to march with us on Saturday, May 1st.